This week on the Time Bat Show.
I imagined you and me and like four strangers we somehow meet, like camping or something, and they're passing around a durian.
Oh, we would totally eat it then.
And they're like, it's really good. Everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 113. I'm one of your hosts, Time Asus.
And I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
How are you doing today, Bat Snacks? You seem like you've had an off couple minutes while we were preparing for the show.
I've had a fine day, but the past couple minutes have been really rough for me.
What happened?
Do you want me to go through what happened?
I want you to go through the whole thing, yeah.
So we usually start at like 7:30, so I set my alarm for 7. Mm-hmm. And then I snoozed at 7 because it's too cold for me to be awake.
You weren't ready yet.
I wasn't ready. Okay. And then I saw that I had like missed texts from you and from my family, and I thought everybody was mad with me. So I got up really fast. I drug my blanket into a TV table, knocked over drinks. Then I was like, shit, I got to start the podcast right now. So I ran into the kitchen. And I made a pimento cheese sandwich. Do you know those, you know when you buy orange juice, at least in Florida, the orange juice containers have a really wide mouth?
Yes, yes.
And I poured it into the cup and poured it way too fast.
And it
spilled orange juice everywhere.
After you'd already spilled stuff in your other room.
There's like liquids all over the place. Ran back to the computer and I was like, okay, here we go. And I realized when I got to my computer that instead of turning off my alarm, I had entered into airplane mode. So there were like three texts that had yet to send to you. I couldn't figure it out. And here
that's
we are.
Funny. Did you clean everything up? I hope you cleaned everything up.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. How was your pimento cheese sandwich?
It was great.
Was it? Yeah, what do you put on that them there pimento cheese sandwiches?
That's all that goes on it.
Just pimento cheese on bread.
Yeah. Don't even toast it.
What kind of bread do you use? Wheat or white?
White.
White. What kind of pimento cheese are we talking about here? Like in like a thing?
The one that I buy is Palmetto brand. Uh-huh. I like it because there's a grandma on the front.
That's how you know it's good.
That's how you know it's good.
Is it a spreadable kind? Like, is it a spreadable
one?
Yeah. Like, it comes in a jar.
I've been, like, obsessed with pimento cheese sandwiches recently because I never used to eat them. But I was reading this book by Augustine Burroughs, and he was talking about how one of his boyfriends, whenever he was sad, he would make himself a pimento cheese sandwich. And I was like, I wonder what that's like. And I tried it, and they're really good.
Are they?
Yeah.
I mean, I like pimento cheese, but I don't like know enough about it to know if it would be good on a sandwich, I guess.
They're really good. So, I highly recommend it.
So you think I should try that?
Yeah.
So I should, before I go to work tomorrow, I should go to the store, get some pimento cheese, make myself a sandwich to bring in.
Yeah. And get like the white bread that's
the worst bread.
The worst you can. Yeah, exactly.
Like it's bleached white.
Yeah.
It's the worst possible bread.
You know when you go to a barbecue restaurant around where you live and they give you the white bread? It's that kind of white bread.
You need that bread. You need the worst bread you can get. And the pimento cheese with the grandma on the front.
Yeah.
I find that I buy stuff with old people on the label. Like, I always go for that brand of food. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, they're old. They probably know what they're doing with this, you know? Which doesn't really make any sense, but I don't know. I've been trained, you know?
Yeah, I think maybe that's something I inherited from my mom, because even growing up, like, she would buy Aunt Jemima,
right.
Which, it's not real maple syrup. It's caramel-colored corn syrup.
Not at all. And then Mrs. Butterworth.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got, like, there's a brand of, like, rolls or something that has an old lady on the front. It's like there's all these old lady things, and it's just like, oh, she looks homely. Let's buy this from her. You know, it's weird. Also, my salad dressing, I get Newman's Own because it has an old Paul Newman face on the front. And I'm like, he looks honest.
Yeah, he's anybody with white hair or an apron on is trustworthy.
He looks honest. And then Famous Amos cookies, like it's an old guy. It's like, he looks like he knows how to make a cookie.
Zatarain's. He's got a trumpet and he's old. That's like double.
I always get Zatarain's confused with Uncle Ben's because they both make rice, right? And they have a very similar label. It's like, I think they're both orange. Maybe I'm getting him confused. But anyway, Uncle Ben, there's another one, right? He's old and he's like, wow, that guy looks like he makes good rice.
Uncle Ben is fine, too. I use his rice in a couple stuff I cook.
Yeah. Zatarain's is more like a, you know, it's got that more flavor. Because it's supposed to be like New Orleans or something. Like, I don't know how rice is New Orleans style. But the commercials are always like jazzy or whatever. And he's like playing the trumpet. And I was like, this is the last thing I associate with rice. But okay, you know.
I think it's kind of supposed to be like jambalaya rice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably where it started. But now they just have normal rice. Like, oh yeah, just white rice, you know? It's like,
But it's with a spin.
It's got a trumpet. It must be really good. And it's like Zatarain's or something. Anyway. But yeah, well, old people on the front of food. It's been known to work pretty well. So what's going on in your life today? Or in general?
Not too much. I wanted to ask you, is there anything that you wouldn't buy if it had old people on the front?
Ooh, that's a good question. Food-wise, probably not. Like, I feel like most food I would be like, oh yeah, that looks good. There's an old person on that, you know? Especially anything like comfort food-wise. Like, I feel like old people on the front is much more... It really sells it, you know what I mean? Like, if I really wanted, like, biscuits and gravy... If there's an old lady on the front of that, I'm much more likely to buy that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if I see a biscuit mix and there's a young person on the front, I'm not not buying that biscuit.
If there's an old lady on the front, I'm much more likely to buy it.
Yeah.
It's either there's an old lady or there's like a picture of a farm. Like, like those are the only two biscuit mixes I'm gonna get.
Yeah.
It's the same with, like, ranch dressing, right? It's like, it's either an old person or a picture of a farm. You're not going to buy ranch dressing with, like, a young hipster walking the streets of New York as, like, a cover, as like the cover. Unless you want, like, edgy, like, hipster ranch dressing or something.
That sounds terrible. They would probably put, like, something weird in
there's
it.
There's sriracha in there and...
yuzu or guacamole or something.
Avocado. It's made with soybeans or something. Hipster ranch would be a good thing to sell to millennials, though. Because ranch is, like, really bad for you, right?
So, it's like, really good.
This new ranch would be, like, healthier with, like, healthier foods. Like, it would have, like, ancient grains in it and, like, other things that... are very popular, a very buzzword right now, you know what I mean?
Avocado oil instead of, like, whatever grease they use in ranch.
Now, it would have to have a very zingy kind of name, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know what it would be, though. It has to have, like, it has to have a really catchy, like, millennial kind of in-your-face. Maybe just... Oh, go ahead, what were you going to say?
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, like, call it Zing Ranch, you know?
Zing? No, that's not.
Not good.
That's not hip with the youngins.
What?
Just call it Youngin Ranch.
The youngins. I don't think they would appreciate that. But I would not buy it for sure.
No, I wouldn't buy it.
That sounds bad. But anyway, is there anything I would buy that I wouldn't buy if it had a picture of an old person on it? Food-wise? I don't know.
I was gonna say, anything for my car?
Yes, that's probably true. And Jemima's spark plugs. Like, nope, I'm not going to go with that.
Yeah.
I'm buying that. Like computer equipment or whatever. Like,
yeah, for a car, I want either like a futuristic name or a name that sounds like it's from like Europe somewhere.
Yes, yes.
Like Das.
Das Gut Tires or whatever.
Das Gut Tires, yeah. Exactly. Those are the tires.
Or like it's future or like Hardy sounding. Like all the batteries have like Hardy names like Everlast and like Super Last, you know, and like.
Yeah.
Tough something, you know.
Tough Bond.
Exactly.
I don't know.
And then, like, hardware equipment is the same kind of thing. Like, adhesives.
Stanley, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's always, like, tough-sounding names. And if I saw an old lady or an old man as, like, their cover, I'd be like, no, I don't want that.
You know? Now, if it was some, like, old, grizzled, like... kind of still buff handyman.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got like a dirty shirt and like a an old hat.
He's carrying like an axe over his shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would buy that.
Like, I'd buy that.
He knows. He knows these things. He probably builds his own cars in his spare time. And like in the background of the picture is his like old garage with like a like an old 1962 like Chevrolet Camaro or something that he rebuilt by himself or something, you know?
Yeah, he's got one up on a wench that's like...
he's got like oil on his like beard. Like,
yeah.
It's all he's working on the car. See, this is a brand I'd buy. It'd be called like Old Mike's, you know, Old Mike's carburetor oil or whatever.
Old Mike's is a solid name.
Is it?
Yeah, Mike's been doing this forever. I trust Mike.
Old Mike. Yeah. So there you go. That's what I wouldn't buy, but an old buy from an old person. But you never know. I don't know. It's kind of an in the moment decision, you know. It's interesting how much we as a society are determined by like face value of what things look like on the outside.
Yeah.
Even now, because there's so many options for everything. We were talking about this, like, a while ago, but I remember you messaged me once, and you were like, I went to the store, and I wanted to get, I don't remember what it was, deodorant or shampoo or
something. It was detergent.
Detergent. And it's like, there's like a million different choices for detergent. And you're like, how do I decide? You know? And they all try to entice you with, like, a name. Like, they're all like... Bounce. It's like, oh, that sounds like it'll put a bounce in my step, you know? Or like, I don't know, the other ones are like Fresh Last or something, you know?
Yeah, Tide. It's like the Tide. It'll wash away
wash
all your...
over the dirt and get it away.
Get it all out.
Yeah. And those like happy names and like bright and shiny kind of logos. And you never know what to get.
Yeah, I spent like $30 on the pods that have the three different colors swirling into a vortex in the pod.
That doesn't do anything, I'm pretty
sure. It's got three different colors in it.
Do you just throw those in there? I always wondered that.
That's what I've been doing. I didn't read the directions, but...
Because, like, you know how some washers have... like a thing you pour the detergent in, and then others you just pour it into the bottom, right?
Yeah.
With the pods, you can't pour it into the to the trap because obviously it won't fit in there. But so do you just kind of toss it in like a grenade into your like into your clothes?
That's what I do. Yeah.
Does the outside like dissolve or?
I've gone through it afterwards, and I didn't see any remnants of the pod
of the capsule.
Of the capsule, so I guess it works. My clothes smell pretty good.
Okay, is it worth? Was it worth $30?
Probably not.
Have you ever been to the store and you're like, this happened to me like last time we were at the store. I'm trying to remember what it was I bought. I don't remember. But the thing was like, there was like a bunch of different, there was like 10 different options. And I was like, okay, we're between two. I was like, we could either get this one or this one. Oh, it was like mix for like making biscuits or some pastry, you know what I mean? Some baked good.
Yeah, there's always the one like a, in the can.
Yeah, and there's always like a million, right? You're like, oh, I don't know which one to get. No, this is a box. This is a box. So it's like making like cornbread or something like that. So like there's a million of them. I'm like, oh, I don't know which one to get. So we narrow it down to the ones that kind of look fancy. You know what I mean? Like, oh, these look more fancier than the normal.
Yeah, you don't want to get a cheap cornbread box.
And so we're between these two, and one's $3.60 and one's $3. And we're like, well, the $3.60 one's probably better. So let's get that one.
That's exactly why I bought the pods. I was like, you know, I could just spend $10 and just pour this detergent into my washing machine like a simian like a simple nothing person. Yep. Or I could say, you know what, I'm worth it. I'm going to spend the extra money.
Get the pod.
Get these fancy tricolored pods.
And throw them in there.
Toss them in like a grenade.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. But you did it because it cost more.
Yeah.
Which is so counterintuitive to me. Like, why am I spending more to get something I have no idea if it's going to be better than the thing that's not more? It's just weird. Psychology at work. And these companies know this, and they're pricing they're pricing their products like just right so that they get you. You know what I mean? They're like, do we want to come in at $3? And they're like, no. If we come in at $3, it's just the same price as this other brand, and we don't want that. We want to appear premium to them. So we need to price ours 60 cents more, you know? And it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and then they choose which grocery store they want to sell at. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're marketing to the, you know, the premium audience, which is you and me, like, we're so fancy.
Accidentally. I'm not intending to be the premium audience.
Then they're going to sell it at, like, down here we have the Fresh Market instead of, like, Walmart.
Yeah.
It's like if you're a fancy man,
you shop. Nicer grocery store. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a nicer one. But, yeah, that's where they would sell these fancy cornbread mixes at. So, I don't know. I'm a sucker. Like, every time I leave the grocery store, I'm like, why did I spend that much more to get this? Like, it's probably just the same as anything else. But, I don't know, man. It's wild.
I was shopping the other day. I decided to get some kombucha. Do you know what
I don't really like
it. It was $10 for a 2-liter. I was like, Jesus Christ. This is rotten tea. What am I doing with my life?
Did you buy it?
Yeah. Well, she already rung it up. I wasn't going to be like, well, that's too much, too rich for my
blood. Oh, yeah. Like, you have that shame moment where you realize something's really expensive, and instead of being like, you know what, I don't want that anymore, you're just like, okay, well, it's fine. This is how it is. You know?
Yeah.
That happens to me a lot, though. Like, paying for something, and they're like, that'll be blah, 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 and you're like, whoa! But you're, like, too embarrassed to be like, actually, that's expensive. You know?
Yeah.
I'm always too embarrassed to say that, and then I just buy it begrudgingly. How was kombucha?
It tasted all right. It wasn't $10 of beverage, that's for sure. But
I don't really like kombucha, or kombucha, whatever the hell it's called.
Neither do I, but I heard it, like, gives you superpowers or
something.
Aren't
there, like, bugs in it or something like that?
The one I bought had all these hippie designs all over it, and it had words on it, like, relax, synthesize, like, become one with...
with the universe.
Yeah, and I was like, I want to do that.
Ease your mind.
Yeah.
Meditate with kombucha. You know, I feel like it has like microorganisms, though. You know how
it's spoiled.
Spoiled tea, basically.
Yeah.
And they charge more for it.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. They got you.
Yeah, they did.
It sounds like the fakest thing in the world. Like some man at like, I don't know, Brisk or like Nest Tea was like, what are we going to do with all this bad tea? And they're like, just throw it in a vat and let it spoil more and then we'll sell it as kombucha. Put some hippie designs on it and people will buy it.
People buy that, yeah.
They love it. But see, with that, they probably intentionally priced it at $10, because if they priced it like at $3 or $4, like a reasonable amount of money, people would be like, I'm not spending $3 on spoiled tea. But if they priced it at $10, then it's like, oh, this must be really good for you.
Yeah, that's up to like a health supplement level price. Yeah.
It's like, wow, this is premium stuff right here. And that's how they get you, you know? So by charging more, they're getting people to buy it, I feel like. More.
I was looking at the bottles in the store, and like, different bottles of the same brand are different, like, tints of brown. They're not a consistent color.
It's because they're all made a different way. They probably all spoil them differently. They, like, throw them in different vats to sit there. You know? I don't know how it works.
I have a feeling that not a lot of thought goes into it.
It's probably just they throw them in a vat and then they just let it sit. And then they're like, well, it's done. If you look at the bottom of kombucha, this is why I don't drink it. It's got a lot of, like, weird stuff floating around. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Like, it settles, and it's just like, what is this crap in my tea? I could just drinking normal tea.
I figured that was the, that was all the special hippie stuff that I was paying for. So before I opened it, I shook the bottle, mm-hmm. and I read on the bottle that you're not supposed to shake it. And I was like, great, oh, I ruined my $10.
You ruined your $10 kombucha.
That was my thought. I was like, great, I just ruined the whole thing.
And you spent $10 on it, so now you're not getting your full kombucha experience. Why aren't you supposed to shake it? That doesn't make any sense. I feel like you'd want to distribute all that gunk all around.
That was my thought, but it says on the bottle, don't shake it.
You know what it is, probably.
Maybe you're not supposed to drink that stuff on the bottom.
That's what I was about to say. They're like, we don't want people to drink that. That would be bad. And they're like, should we remove it? No, I'll just tell them not to shake it.
I drank it. I had this little dialogue with myself where I was like, you know what? I guess I just like my kombucha shaken. I guess, you know, I'm just unique.
You totally justified it.
Yeah.
I love that when I, like, in myself, when I do that too. I'll make a mistake, and then afterwards I'll, like, try to accept it and be like, you know what? It's better than I did.
It's better that way.
It lasts maybe 10 minutes before I'm like, wow, I'm dumb. So did you finish the bottle? Or is it
I finished it. I paid $10 for it.
So
I drank
it.
So you
go back and get more kombucha?
Probably not.
Was this the first time you tried it?
No, I've bought it before. It's usually when I'm at the grocery store and kind of in a weird mood, and I just feel like arbitrarily doing something. I don't know.
Change it up a little bit.
Change it up. I'll buy kombucha today.
You're like, oh, that might be good. Little did you know it was $10, and you ruined it by shaking it, by simply shaking it once. I feel like anything that's that expensive and you ruin by just, like, tipping it over a little bit is probably a scam. Just my two cents, though. I've never bought it at the store. I've had it in, like, little you know, glass bottles before.
Yeah.
But anyway, would you like to... Speaking of food, my first trivia question is about food. You want to do it now?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. Your first category is food. What would you like as your lifeline?
I feel like I'm pretty good with food, so we'll go with 50-50 for my first.
All right, 50-50. What type of fruit is called the winter banana? The winter banana. Is it an orange, an apple, a jackfruit, or a durian? Okay. The winter banana.
I think it's a jackfruit because they're yellow.
Mm. Okay.
A durian is that spiky ball that smells like really bad or something.
Yes, it is. It is the spiky ball that smells really bad. It's like banned in parts of Asia. Like, you can't bring it anywhere.
There's a store that sells it near me, but I'm too afraid to try. I don't want
to
try it.
It's supposed to smell really bad.
Yeah.
I think it only smells when you crack it open, though. You know what I mean?
Bad-smelling food really turns me off, like, super hard.
Me too. I don't understand how people like bad-smelling food. They're like, oh, it smells bad, but it tastes great. It's like, that's part of the taste for me, anyway.
Yeah, know? Smell is really important.
Like, if right before I bite into this thing that's delicious, if it's like, if my nose smells like feces at that moment, guess what? I'm not going to enjoy what I'm about to bite into.
No.
It's not happening. But people swear by it. I don't get it. Yeah. Would you try a durian if you were given the opportunity?
I don't know. If I was under pressure to try it, like if I didn't try it, I would offend someone. I might.
When are you going to be under pressure to eat a durian?
I don't know. I imagine. Okay, so durians are so strange to me that I feel like I would have to be in an Indiana Jones style situation to try it.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was thinking of the exact scene in Temple of Doom where it's in, like, the village and they're eating, like, goop.
Yeah.
And Willy is like, I don't want to eat this. And Indiana Jones is like, if you don't eat it, you're going to offend all these people or whatever.
You'd That's have to exactly be, what I was thinking of.
You'd have to be in one of those. Like, you're visiting some random Southeast Asia country that no one knows the name of. And you go, and somehow you're on this journey in this village, and they're like, try this durian, and you're like, oh, I don't know. And everyone starts eating it, and they're all happy, and you're like, oh, if I don't eat this, they're going to kick me out of this, like, right now. That's the situation you need a durian.
Yeah. Otherwise, no.
I think I'm the same way. The first thing I imagined when you said that was the Indiana Jones thing. The second scenario I imagined when you said if I was peer pressured into it, I imagined you and me and like four strangers we somehow meet, like camping or something, and they're passing around a durian.
Oh, we would totally eat it then.
And they're like, it's really good.
Can you imagine that if we were sitting around the campfire and it's like coming to us?
The durian. I would move so I'm behind you, like you're the first to get it.
We would make eye contact and I'd just be like, if I'm eating this, you're eating this, and we're in this together.
You wouldn't have to say it, you would have to just, you just nod and I would know. Yeah. I would like shake my head and be like, no, don't eat it, I don't want to eat it. I'm like, well, I gotta go to bed now.
Do you remember when we were peer pressured into drinking that, what was it, what kind of cactus juice was that?
Did we ever tell that story?
I don't think we did. It's the same situation.
It was cactus juice. It was just juice from a cactus. We don't know where it was, where it has been. Like, it could be urine for all we know.
We were camping at Desert Days. There was a guy walking around with a plastic gallon jug of green cactus juice.
We should note that this jug looked like it's been around the block a few times. Like,
yeah, I don't think it was his second time filling it.
It wasn't a new jug by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. Anyway, the guy brings the jug up to us and he says, hey, do you want some cactus juice? And we both drank it.
Yes.
And there was another guy with us, and when he offered it to
like two or three other people.
Yeah. Everybody else said no.
Because it's nasty. We should have waited for other people to say no before we said yes. You drank a lot of that juice too.
Well, I thought it would give you
give you some kind of some kind of psychological thing. Yeah. I took a little sip and I was like, I'm not drinking this. It tasted kind of like vomit is the way I would describe it. It was like really bitter. You know?
Yeah. And gritty.
Yeah. How did you even get that? Like, what do you stab a cactus and it just comes out or something? Like, I don't know.
I have no idea. He told us a story about how he lived on that stuff for a week, and it's like no wonder that guy was so weird, because if that's I ate for a week,
I would hallucinate. It's not the cactus juice that would make me hallucinate. It's the fact that I'm not eating or drinking anything except crappy juice from a cactus.
Alright, I'm going to go with my gut on this trivia question here and say jackfruit.
You're final not even answer. Using a 50-50?
You're just going to put jackfruit in there, and that's the one I'm going to choose.
That's fair. jackfruit is incorrect, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it's apple.
That's not a banana. That's not even close.
I know, but there's this thing called the winter banana, and it's a type of apple, so I don't know. I don't write the questions. I just read them. I guess I technically write them, but I don't make the facts. I just find them on shady websites that may not actually be true. So there you go.
Who names their apple winter banana?
Probably people in Europe.
That's guess. True.
You know, it's like Swedish people. They're like, do you want the winter banana?
They've never seen a real apple. Like,
because everything is winter in Sweden. So, like, when it's real winter, they're like, they only grow the apples in winter. That still doesn't make any sense. Do you want a winter banana? Yeah.
That's German. They don't say yeah.
Damn it. It's fine. I don't know where they'd name it that, but somewhere in Europe, probably.
Yeah.
Eastern Europe. I don't know. Whatever.
My mental image of pretty much everyone in Sweden is either a Viking or... I should stop there.
The Swedish chef.
Yeah. Or the Swedish chef, yeah.
That's me. That's how I picture everybody in Sweden, too. They'll have long beards, or they're the Swedish chef. Yep. That's super racist, but whatever. The Muppets did it first, so if the Muppets do it, you're safe. That's the rule, I think. If the Muppets can get away with it, then you can get away with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
that's the rule I follow in life. You know, if it's not offensive for the Muppets, then it's not offensive for me. Really fast, before we go into any other things, what other situation would you try during in? If you're in a circle with a bunch of people camping, if you're in an Indiana Jones situation, is there any other way you would try a durian?
I don't think there is.
Okay. I kind of want to get into a campfire durian situation now, though. Like, yeah. I kind of want to make that my goal now.
You know what we could do? We could just bring a durian camping. Like, having never eaten one before.
We could pretend we've eaten one, though.
We'd be trying to open it and, like, not doing a good job.
We'd be like, do you guys want to try some durian? And they're like, I don't know. And we're like, let's open it. And we're like, wait, how does this work? I don't understand this. It's probably like a pineapple. You have to, like, break it open or something.
Yeah, but what if there are, like, seeds or... I've seen the inside.
It's supposed to be really smelly.
You know when they open up aliens in the alien universe, the xenomorphs? Yes. That's what a durian looks like inside.
It looks like a xenomorph.
It looks like the inside
maybe,
of a xenomorph.
Maybe H.R. Giger was eating a durian one day, and he was like, you know what this looks like? An alien. I'm going to base my designs on the durian.
It's next like time, goopy and white and gross.
Next time we go camping, if we go to Desert Days or something like that, again, we're gonna bring a durian. You have to go to that weird supermarket near your house and get one, though. Although, would you be able to travel with it? I bet you wouldn't.
I think so. You can bring, like, a watermelon with you.
On a plane?
Can you?
I don't think so. I don't think you're allowed to bring food.
If you check it?
Check your durian.
Just put it with your clothes. That's a good idea.
Sir, what's in the bag? You're like, a durian? A what? It's a smelly fruit? I'm bringing it to eat with friends? Near the campsite? He's like, what?
You really don't want to open it, trust me. It smells really bad.
Only you would bring a durian from another state to eat, like, at a campsite in another state, though.
Yeah, I would do that.
That sounds kind of fun, though. Right? Peer pressure. Oh, God. Okay. Do I have any news or whatever today?
It's just cold. That's been in the news durians. A lot.
Oh, yeah, what are they calling it? Isn't there, like, a name, a snappy name for it?
The polar blast?
Polar blast. Because, like, last time, because remember, like, last year we had a similar blast, but I think they called it the Arctic blast.
I think, didn't they? I think last year it was the Arctic vortex.
Okay. And this year it's the polar blast, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't quote me on that, but that sounds right.
That sounds right. That sounds like a popsicle flavor.
They both do.
We should start a popsicle company that just uses the names of the cold front, like, every year. Because they always come up with some new dumb name. And that will be adopted as the new, like, flavor of the year. Kind of like a Ben and Jerry's kind of thing, but only with weather phenomenon.
That's such a cool idea for a business. You know, Ben and Jerry's does, like, pop culture names, like the Colbert Report or whatever.
Yeah.
This would just be, like, weird weather stuff.
Yeah, so you'd have popsicles, and they're all named off, like, blizzards or, like, the polar blast or whatever. And then, like, you'd have some other thing that, like, names after hurricanes, you know?
Yeah, like Irene's Dream or something
like
that.
And it's like they're all swirls of ice cream, right? Because it's like a hurricane swirl, you get it?
Yeah, if I don't know if this is true, but, you know, if it's a hurricane, the swirl will be one way. And if it's a tsunami, a
cyclone, it's the other way.
Yeah, a tropical cyclone.
Irene's Dream. I like it. And, ooh, the flavors are... this is dark. The flavors are based on where they hit.
So if it hits New Orleans, you could have, like, a Cajun kind of... No, or like beignets. Beignets would taste better than a gum.
Beignets, like, and pecans are in, like, the New Orleans one.
It's such a good idea.
And then if it's like Cuba, I don't know what dessert they would have. I think they do a lot of vanilla in Cuba. So it'd be like vanilla bean and like cinnamon or something.
Yeah, Florida could be like orange cream or something.
And key lime.
Key lime, yeah.
Orange and key lime. See, this is a good idea. This is $1 million idea.
And, you know, this could be popular because you could, you know, with some products you buy these days, it says on the packaging that for every X and so number of these donated. You buy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that where you're going with this?
Yeah, it gets donated to the relief fund or something.
That's such a good idea. Yeah. And, like, every year, like, that's the only year you can buy them. So, like, it's commemorative, like, packaging.
You can save them if you want.
There'd be a guy out there that collects all of them. You know it, though.
Yeah.
He's like, this is my favorite year. This is when Hurricane Elma hit Louisiana, and we had the tropical, and we had the polar blast, which they made a popsicle.
Such a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
The one right, the one right now. What's a Chicago dessert?
I don't know. But
I don't know.
Not a deep dish pizza.
Just do deep dish pizza, and their fund is you know, all the animals shelters, right?
Uh huh. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. What would that one be called, though? There's no phenomenon name for that, though. You could come up with something.
The cold death.
Cold death. That's terrible. Yeah. This would work, I feel like. I don't know. The Maine lobster ice cream. It's all regional delicacy. It's all regional flavors.
Yeah.
Anyway. I like Irene's Dream. Sounds good.
Yeah, you do hurricanes, earthquakes.
Do they name earthquakes? I don't think they do.
You could just say
where, like, where it hit.
Where it is. Mm-hmm. And like the magnitude.
Like, isn't there a place in California called, like, La Jolla or something that has a lot of earthquakes?
That sounds, like, about right.
Yeah, so it'd be like Jolla at Yohala.
Like Jolla, H-O-L-L-A.
Yes, Jolla at Yohala. And it'd be like a churro flavored
ice cream.
And depending on the magnitude, that's how many, like, different toppings go in it.
Oh, like I like that. A big
earthquake will have more rocky road stuff in it.
Whereas a small one is a simple, closer to, like, a simple vanilla kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know. And you can do volcanoes, too, you know, when they erupt.
What if you put pop rocks in the earthquake ice cream so it, like, pops in your mouth when you eat it?
I like this. It's just weather phenomenon food. You could really build a whole business around this idea, I feel like. I don't know what you'd call this company, but it would need, like, a good weathery kind of name. But, I mean, we can come up with that later. I'll send you an email or something.
This is the one.
Speaking of email, we should check our email, don't you think?
Do you have it up?
I can get it up really fast.
Let's check it. We checked it last week, and seems pretty soon to check again.
Since I called it out last week, I was hoping maybe someone would take the hint and be like, oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Nobody told us. Oh, well, it's fine.
No one had a fax for us.
No one had a fax. We should say that, though. If you want to talk to us, we haven't got an email in a really long time. So you should email us at timebatshow.com. Wait, that's wrong. contact@timebatshow.com, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
Or tweet at us at timebatshow. We will respond to your tweets, and we will call out your email on the show if you respond, if you email us. So do that, like, whenever you have a chance. Even if it's, like, really stupid. Like, I don't know. You had a bad cheeseburger last night, and you wanted to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I want to hear about that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Do you know what I'd really want to hear, though?
What?
I want to hear how people are listening to this show. I don't actually understand how people are listening to this.
Do you know what I mean?
No. Like, because when you go to our stats on our website, we have a bunch of listens, but they all come from other, and I don't know what that means.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So if you're using, like, a cool service or
we want to hear something, about
I'd like to hear what you're using.
Yeah, we would also want to hear what you ate for dinner last night, too.
Yes, not in a creepy way. But
in a normal, productive kind of way. You know, sometimes when you eat something bad, you want to talk about it, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have you ever, like, ate something so bad that you were like, oh, someone needs to know that this is bad?
Yeah.
But, like, nobody, you can't really tell anyone about that?
Yeah, that's, like, all of Yelp. That's why Yelp is successful.
Right, because you're like, I need to mention this to someone, and then you Yelp it. But the problem with Yelp is you put it out there, and it's gone. Like, no one even looks at that, ever. They just look at the score, right?
I do.
I know, but what you need is someone to be like, oh, that sucks. That sounds bad, you know. But you can't, like, text a friend and be like, I just had the shittiest pizza I've ever eaten before, you know? Like, that doesn't really work.
I mean, I text you that kind of stuff.
I know. See, I think people need more outlets for their rage.
Yeah.
Because Yelp and reviewing, it's not good enough, you know? You need more than just that, I feel like. I don't know. Are you ready for your second trivia question?
Yes.
Okay. This has nothing to do with what we were just talking about. I had a really good segue for the last one, but this one does not have a good segue. The category is cartoons. Are you familiar with cartoons?
I feel pretty good about cartoons, but I feel like if it's in one of the trivia sites that we regularly frequent, maybe it's a cartoon I've not seen before.
That's fair.
So I'm going to Monty Hall this one.
All right. I don't know if you're going to know this, but you might. You might surprise me and know this one. Okay. The cartoon character Quick Draw McGraw. Do you know Quick Draw McGraw?
I don't think I do.
Vaguely. All right. Well, here we go. The cartoon character Quick Draw McGraw had a sidekick. What was the name of his sidekick? Preface this by saying Quick Draw McGraw is like a Western, like, cowboy, but he's like an animal. I think he's like a horse or dog or something. Like, he's anthropomorphized, you know what
okay,
I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like the Looney Tunes era or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. So, Quick Draw McGraw. He had a sidekick. What was that sidekick's name? Is it A, Barnacle Bill, B, Bartholomew Bilgebottom, C, Baba Louie, or D, Bertram Bark?
Gut says Bertram Bark, because I feel like Quick Draw McGraw would have a dog. He sounds like a dog guy.
Like a sidekick would be a dog?
Yeah.
That's fair.
Barnacle Bill.
Barnacle Bill, Bartholomew Big Bilgebottom, Baba Louie, or Bertram Bark.
Barnacle Bill, that's such a weird sidekick. I love that name, though. Barnacles are ugly.
He's like barnacles on his head or something.
Bilgewater, what was the other one?
Barnacle Bill, Bartholomew Bill, Bilgebottom, Baba Louie, or Bertram Bark.
It could be any of these. Monty Hall was not the right choice.
Well, you gotta lock one in.
All right, I'm gonna do this based on stats. I'm gonna do Monty Hall, and then I'm gonna switch it.
Oh, you're gonna do the old Monty Hall paradox routine here. Okay, I don't think you've ever used this strategy before.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for it.
Yeah, it's a good strategy. All right, so what are you locking in?
I'm gonna go with whatever choice number three is.
Baba Louie.
Sure.
Okay. It's either Baba Louie or Bertram Bark.
Okay, I thought it was Bertram Bark. Switching to Bertram Bark.
Final answer.
Final.
It's actually Baba Louie.
Damn it, dude. Oh, this is the worst trivia day ever.
Although, I'm proud of myself with Bertram Bark. That really does sound like a sidekick, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It sounds like a dog.
Sounds like a character that would be on one of these shows. Bertram Bark. Also, Barnacle Bill. I don't know if you know this, but like, I use the name Barnacle Bill all the time, and I don't know why. Maybe it's from something? I don't know, but I made it up.
Yeah, you do. You do. I knew that.
I mean, I knew you would think that. I knew you would think that would be a very me name. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Barnacle Bill is something. It's American drinking song, apparently. I'm just looking it up right now.
Oh, it makes me think of that song from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Hey, Bungalow Bill, what did you kill? Bungalow Bill.
I don't know that song, but it sounds great.
It's not Barnacle, though.
Barnacle Bill and the Seven Seas is this fictional music group from SpongeBob SquarePants. So there you go.
You never watched SpongeBob, though.
No, I didn't. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where I found Barnacle Bill from. I think it's just something that sounds cool to me, and yeah. I like the idea of barnacles, and I like the name Bill. So there you go, Barnacle Bill. I'm gonna look at a picture of Barnacle Bill really fast. Wow, he's fantastic.
Describe him for me, because I'm not looking.
Well, he's a piece of wood for a body. With a man's head.
Oh, no.
And he has, like, a lot of, like, 5 o'clock shadow. And he's missing a lot of teeth. His head actually looks a lot like Eustace from Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Yeah, got it.
But less old. And he looks really crazy. Like, if you combine Eustace and Popeye, you know what I mean? That's what his head looks like.
Where are the barnacles?
There's no barnacles. And his body is just a big block of wood.
What a strange character.
I don't disagree with you, but I don't really know why his body is a block of wood. I enjoy that it's a block of wood, though.
Yeah, he's like Plank from Ed, Edd n Eddy.
Apparently, he only appears in some comics in SpongeBob, so like he's not a prominent character. But I really like him.
Yeah, he sounds cool. It's a shame they didn't put any barnacles on him.
Yeah, I don't know what's about the barnacles. Maybe it's just because he's underwater. They figured, like, oh, it's barnacles, you know, I don't know.
When I hear Barnacle Bill, the kind of character I imagine is a single barnacle, and he opens up his barnacle face like a clam does.
Sure.
And then he's in there, and he smiles and talks
to him. The actual guy is in there?
Yeah. So not a man, but like a clam-looking creature. Oh,
So there's a clam in a barnacle.
Don't barnacles open?
I don't like know. Like a clam?
I think they do.
So what's inside the barnacle, though?
Bill.
But what does he look like?
He looks like the insides of a shellfish. I don't know. Have you seen the inside of an oyster?
That's what's kind in the barnacle? Bill's in the barnacle. Damn. Have I seen the inside of a shellfish?
Yeah, an oyster.
Yeah, like a clam.
Yeah, it looks goop.
I don't think that's Bill. That's what a barnacle is. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not a barnacle expert. If you know what a barnacle is, email us at contact@timebetshow.com or tweet at us at timebetshow. Speaking of cartoons, did you hear that they are making, they've just greenlit, a Tom and Jerry live action movie?
Yeah, I heard about that. What are they doing?
I don't know. They're really running out of ideas over there in Hollywood, aren't they?
I loved the original Tom and Jerry. I used to watch that every Saturday.
Did you feel bad for Tom sometimes?
No.
Really?
Well, yeah. Some of them were really sad.
Like, Tom's just...
Do you remember those episodes where Tom would get really depressed and he'd, like, drink a lot?
Yeah.
And go crazy?
He'd get really sad because he could never catch Jerry.
Yeah.
And Jerry's, like, always better than him. Like, always. Like, Tom never gets a chance. Like, even when... This is the problem, right? Even when Tom is, like, about to, like, beat Jerry, Jerry pulls something out of his ass and he, like, gets him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, every single time. And... I really relate to Tom. Like, that's all. But anyway, they're making... Oh, go ahead. What were you saying?
I was going to say, even all the other characters in the show, none of them like Tom for long. There are characters that are nice to him initially, but that's only because they're trying to manipulate him into doing something that's bad for himself. Like, the girl cat is always bad news. You still there?
Yeah. The girl cat is terrible. Sorry, I was... I was looking up the Tom and Jerry live-action movie. There's not really any information on it yet. They just announced it. The weird thing I don't understand, and I don't get these live-action movies these days, because Disney's remaking all these live-action movies, too, you know? They did The Jungle Book a few years back. They're doing The Lion King. They're doing Aladdin, right? All these live-action movies. What I don't get about these is why are they doing them live-action? Because the majority of them have talking animals in them, right?
Yeah.
So, like, why are you doing live action? You can't make live action animals talk. You're going to have to animate them with computers anyway.
Yeah.
So, why live action? You know what I mean?
Or why not do, like, a Moana kind of thing, where it's, you know, they look like people, but it's all CGI.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why they have to be live action. Like, it doesn't really make any sense to me. Like, if you're going to have to animate the two main characters, you might as well, like, make the whole world, you know, animated, right? Do you agree with that? Like, am I taking crazy pills, or is this just...
No, that makes sense to me.
I just don't get... Like, what do you gain by having the world real and the two main characters animated? Because inevitably, in Tom and Jerry, they're going to animate Tom and Jerry.
I mean, like, you get Will Smith in the case of Aladdin.
Right, you get Will Smith. You get famous, you don't even get that, because you could do that in an animated. I was going to say you get famous voice actors playing them, but you can just do that in an animated version.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who would you cast as Tom and Jerry? Are they going to even talk? They can't, I mean, in the original cartoon, they don't really talk that much, right? Or do they talk at all?
I don't think they talk in the original, not that I remember, at least not a lot.
No. So they're just going to run around, and then they'll have, like, whoever's Jerry's own or Tom's owner is, will talk, you know, and be like, oh, damn cat, you know.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis or whoever, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell would do it. He would be the...
He's the owner? Yeah, or John C. Reilly. He'd be a good Tom and Jerry owner.
Yeah. But, like, I don't even know what this movie would be.
I was going to say, for the voice of Tom, if he did have dialogue in the movie, Tom Hanks would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he did Woody, and I feel like Woody and Tom are, like, very similar.
They are similar.
Yeah.
I relate to both of them a lot. Yeah.
For the voice of Jerry, maybe Shia LaBeouf. Just someone really annoying. Someone
annoying. that's good. I don't even know what the plot of Tom is. It, can you have enough movie for, like, Tom and Jerry, it works because it's short. Like, it's like... some dumb plan that Tom has to catch Jerry, and they just something happens, and then it's resolved. It's over. Like, can you really make an hour and a half movie out of that, though? I don't know. I feel like you can't, but maybe you can. I don't know.
Yeah, there's, like, just one joke in Tom and Jerry, and
it's that Jerry is or Tom is bad at everything
at catching Jerry.
Basically, it's basically like the Roadrunner in Wile E. Coyote, just in a different kind of circumstances, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, here's a question for you. If you were making a live-action version of Tom and Jerry, and when I say live-action, I mean live-action. None of this, like, oh, some of this is CG. No, no, no. It's all live-action. Like, it's all actors.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you cast as Tom and Jerry?
I think Tom Hanks and Shia LaBeouf would be really funny.
They just have to, like, wear, like, animal fursuits, basically. Yeah. The entire movie. And maybe they're not in fursuits as much as they're just wearing a lot of makeup. So you can see their face.
Oh, kind of like
clearly Tom Hanks' face.
Like that Cats musical, kind of like that?
Yes, like Cats. Just like Cats. It's a musical. We're making it a musical now. It's Tom and Jerry the musical. On ice. Because, you know, why not? Let's just throw the whole kitchen sink in there. Might as well. Tom and Jerry the musical on ice, starring Tom Hanks and Shia LaBeouf. And they, like, skate around. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, all the shenanigans, they're like, because they're running from each other a lot, because it's Tom and Jerry, right?
Yeah.
They're skating, right?
Away from each other, and everything is crashing all around them.
And they're
them.
Doing tricks and all this stuff, and they're singing and skating and dancing.
Tom Hanks is like, I'm going to catch you. Jerry's like, oh, no, you're not.
Here's another one. Another wrench in the works. So, it's a musical. The band is skating with them.
Maybe the band is all the supporting characters. Like,
yes, like the owner.
There's like Foghorn Leghorn. I think he's in a couple Tom and Jerry skits.
Sure. He plays like the saxophone or something.
Of course he does. Yeah, there's the girl cat. She plays the flute.
Sure. Something like sexy, you know?
Yeah. There's the mom. Is it a mom? There's a lady in Tom and Jerry.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know who it is. Like the mom. Not really mom. Maybe the wife of the other guy that owns.
Who's always at work that you never see
or
something.
Yeah, he's always at work. Maybe his wife or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's in it.
She plays like the guitar or something. Or
maybe, okay, we modernize this a little bit. Mm-hmm. The music is all within the world. So, like, the characters that are playing are all the side characters, but they're playing music because they're in, like, a jazz band or something.
Oh, okay.
And they're, like, rehearsing while Tom and Jerry are trying to kill each other.
Okay, yeah, this happens in a jazz club, and Tom and Jerry keep interrupting the band while they're trying to get ready for their gig.
For an hour and a half.
For a really long time.
But that's the whole movie. It starts in... This would be cheap to film, right? It's just in a jazz club. This is like the Die Hard of Tom and Jerry movies. Like, it's just in the jazz club. It opens in the jazz club and it ends in the jazz club. And Tom is there because they're taking him to the vet after the
music. What, did they just, like, leave him in the car while they went to the jazz club?
Yes, and then, like, Jerry gets out and goes to the jazz club, and then Tom's like, this is my chance, and he, like, gets out of the cage and then goes in the jazz club, and then the shenanigans start.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then Will Ferrell's character, the owner, and his wife, they, like, need this gig to survive. Like, this is their big break.
Right.
You know, like, this is the make or break. Like, they're going to be late with their rent if they don't nail this gig.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Tom and Jerry are really disrupting their thing. And the woman really loves Tom as a cat, but, like, she's, like, really mad at him because he might be ruining this shot that they have.
Yeah. Maybe Will Ferrell wants to get rid of Tom, and he's, like, maybe he's got... He's the bad guy. He actually wants to take Tom to the vet to get rid of him. Let's just say, like, take him to the shelter.
To put him down. And he's revealed to be the villain. And then in the end, Tom and Jerry realize this.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to band together.
Yeah.
To take down Will Ferrell.
There's like an exposition where Jerry's like, no, you complete me. I can't let you die.
It's like a Batman, the Joker kind of thing.
Just like that, yeah.
It's like, I can only be Tom if you're Jerry. And this is all on ice. So, I mean, there's some technical stuff that's going to happen to go into making this, but I think it'd be worthwhile picture.
Have you ever seen a musical on ice? There's like, I feel like having serious drama while they're on ice skates is...
I just feel like singing and having like scenes where you're talking to someone on ice. Like, how do you even do that? I don't know. Yeah. Didn't they have a few on ice though, don't they? Like musicals on ice.
There was a Beauty and the Beast on ice that I saw when I was a kid. That's
musical.
Yeah.
And I think they did like The Lion King on ice too, and that's musical too, partially. You know? So it's like, I mean, but to be honest, if you're going to make a Tom and Jerry movie, you know, it's going to be really boring if you just make it a normal movie. So like, adding these layers, like, it's a musical, it's on ice, it takes place in a jazz club, you know, like, Will Ferrell's in it, you know, like, all these extra things just make it more intriguing as a movie. Like, I would have zero interest in a Tom and Jerry straight, you know, live-action movie in the vein of, like, what they did to Garfield, like, 10 years ago. You, like, remember that? It's, like, not that exciting.
I didn't see it, but only because it looked exactly, like, boring.
Yeah, but it would be boring. But make a Tom and Jerry movie with a musical on ice with Tom Hanks as Tom, like in just cat makeup and stuff, you know? Like,
yeah.
That would be...
I would go see that. That would be a trip.
Yeah, it would be great. But anyway.
I guarantee you in this live action movie, they're going to have like a Batman Joker moment where it's like, no, Tom, I need you.
Who would say it? Would Tom say it to Jerry or Jerry say it to Tom?
I think Jerry says it to Tom when he's like... So, like, they have to work together, and then it turns out that, like, for whatever reason, one of them has to betray the other, and there's, like, a broken trust thing.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, it's like, no, you complete me. We must go back to our old ways. Like, they were friends for a minute, then they weren't. And then there was, like, they end on respect.
Yeah, it's like they're not... They're friendly, but they know that they have to continue being Tom and Jerry, you know, chaser and chasey kind of thing.
Yeah,
because that's how it works. Like that's who they are. Wow, that's a real somber note to end on.
I cracked it. That's the movie.
That's a bold move to end it. And then, but Will Ferrell has to like fall into a vat of something in the end, like in really goofy, like slapstick kind of way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, the owner just like dies or something.
I don't know if that dies, but, like, yeah, something terrible happens. And then his wife, like, leaves him. Like, she realizes he's, like, a dick. And he's like, ah, psh.
Yeah, how do you end this movie? Like,
without killing him off, I don't really know.
Or, like, setting up for a terrible sequel.
I imagine he's, like, he, like, runs at Tom and Jerry. And then, like, somehow there's a really big cake that, like, goes up into the air and, like, smacks into his face. You know? Because that's a lot of these stupid...
Does it kill him? How does
No, he's just, like, really embarrassed. And he, like, can't be with them anymore. I don't know.
He becomes a shut-in. He just becomes a recluse. There's the end of the movie.
I don't know. Maybe he gets arrested. I don't know what he can get arrested. That's terrible. You'd have to. I don't know how to end it. I feel like you'd have to embarrass him enough that he like doesn't. I don't know. His wife or whatever would have to leave him to realize like, oh, he's a bad person. You know.
You can't end a movie with a divorce, though. Not Tom and Jerry, maybe. Anyway.
Ending of Tom and Jerry is like a court scene, and the judge is like, I grant you custody of Tom and Jerry. And then Will Ferrell's character is like, really, like, ah, or something.
Everybody cheers.
And then Will Ferrell goes to prison, even though it was a divorce. They like put him in like the old like 1930s prison jail striped
cell. Yeah.
And like he just got divorced, so he shouldn't go to jail, but like they're putting him in jail anyway. It's very like vaudevillian in the end.
Yeah.
And then they have like a musical number as he's like going into jail. They're like, yay, you know.
I like it.
And then Tom and Jerry go back to being Tom and Jerry. And the next one could be like Tom and Jerry go to jail with him.
Oh, so they commit a crime and then they get to... No, because this can happen in a cartoon. You can send mice and cats to jail.
To jail? Like, why not?
I think Tom has been to jail before. I feel like he has.
I remember an episode of Tom and Jerry where he's in, like, jail attire.
Yeah, and he's got that big iron ball around his foot. That's happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So Tom and Jerry in jail. Tom and Jerry Go to Jail would be the sequel. And, like, Will Ferrell's character's in jail, too. And he's, like, the big kingpin of jail. Yeah. And he, like, tries to get everyone to get Tom and Jerry.
Oh, and get this. There's, like, the cat squad. And there's, like, the dog squad. And there's, like, the background is cats versus dogs.
Yes. Yes. I love this.
Love it. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. I feel like we could keep going with the sequel, but... I want to get to your last trivia question.
I could write a trilogy, man. This is my stuff. I love cartoons.
Tom and Jerry. Now, would the sequel be a musical, too? We could go in a different direction for the sequel. Like, it could be more of a drama, you know?
like a film noir kind of.
Film noir. Yes, that's good.
I like that. It's like filmed in black and white.
Yeah.
They have to solve some kind of mystery in jail. You know? It's
good. Yeah.
Your last trivia question, the category's animals. Speaking of Tom and Jerry, look at that.
All right, for animals, I'm going to choose my my 5-second Google.
Okay. How many flowers must honeybees visit to make 1 pound of honey? How many flowers must honeybees visit to make 1 pound of honey? Is it A, 20,000, B, 200,000, C, 2 million, or D, 20 million?
I have no idea. A pound?
A pound, yeah.
I don't even know how honey is made. It's a mystery to me, because I know pollen is not a liquid.
No. Bees go to a flower. They come back to the hive. Something happens.
And there's honey. And there's honey.
That's how I describe it.
I'm gonna use my Google.
Okay, I'll bring up the timer. Okay.
I'm gonna be really wrong. Let's say 2 million.
2 million.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you doing 5-second Google, right?
5-second Google.
All right. You ready?
Ready.
3, 2, 1. Google.
How many flowers pound of honey?
Boop, 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 boop.
In order to produce 1 pound of honey, 2 million flowers must be visited.
Wow.
The hive of bees must fly 55,000 miles.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, that's the final answer.
Good job. You got it. That was your first guess, too. That's impressive.
I only guessed it because it was the one in the middle.
Oh, it was C. You know I like C's a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like I do C's too much. I do B and C too much.
If you did like a month's worth of only A's, I would get every single one wrong, probably.
Oh, I should do that. I mean, I shouldn't. Because I just told you. Damn it, how psychology works. That sucks. Anyway, do you want to get into some Would You Rathers or Reddits for the end of the show?
Yeah, I've got a good Would You Rather.
I'm ready.
Where did it go? Hang on. Okay, here it is. All right. Would you rather live in a cave or live in a large bathroom?
Yes, this is when I texted you.
Yeah.
Did you get this one?
Yeah.
I just love this question. Okay, I think we should say it on three what we would do.
Okay.
And see if we're the same, because I don't really know what you would do, but I know what I would do.
I know what I would do.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1, bathroom.
Bathroom.
We both said bathroom, yep. I agree. Because the cave doesn't have any plumbing.
Yeah, the cave, you can use the bathroom in it, but.
But it's not fun. It's not a good experience. Yeah. Only drawback of the bathroom is, well, it's a bathroom. You know? Like, you have to live in it.
Now, I would pick a cave over a public bathroom.
Yeah, me too. But.
Like a large regular bathroom, I would
like if I had a big bathroom in my house, and I could live there or in a cave, I'd be like, yeah, I'm living in my bathroom. You know? Probably got a shower in there, you know? Might have a tub. Definitely got a sink, got a toilet, you know?
You have everything you need.
Almost, yeah. I just don't have food, but, you know, I can go out and get food. Where did you sleep in the bathroom?
I've seen movies where people hide from, like, the boogeyman in the bathtub by sleeping in it.
Wait, what?
You've never seen a movie where, like, someone hides in the bathtub to hide from the boogeyman?
Oh, like, they go all the way down, and then they, like...
Yeah, they
How does the boogeyman not see them? Because then they just look in and be like, oh, yeah, there you are.
They're not allowed to go in the bathroom. It's a rule.
The boogeyman, is it?
I don't know.
That would be funny. If that was how it worked. Like, they're just not... They're like, oh, the bathroom, no. That's where the boogeyman draws the line. They're like, the whole house is up for grabs. But the bathroom, I don't like bathrooms. I think they smell bad. I think they're gross. I'm not going to go in there.
All kind of germs. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm glad we have the same opinion on this one. If it was public bathroom, though, no. That would be really hard. You know?
I would have to lock it and just not let people in.
You know, there could be a cool... Like, let's say you're in, like, New York or some really big city. Like, an old big city. You find, like, an old subway, right? And it has, like, this old public bathroom that still works, but nobody uses. Because it's, like, really out of the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There you go. There's a place you could live. Right?
Yeah.
Walk that. You know what I mean? Only issue is, like, now when you go out to get food or whatever and come back, someone might be in your bathroom.
Yeah.
But I guess then you just wait until they leave and then lock it again. You know?
Yeah. If you can only lock it from the... I assume you don't have keys to this public bathroom.
No. You can only lock it from the inside.
Yeah, you just have to take your important stuff with you every time.
Do you think there are some... Because some cities have, like, public bathrooms, like, in the subway or something like that. Do you think there are, like, homeless people that live in those bathrooms? Like, whole colonies of people?
Absolutely. There's a... Yeah. Have you seen that Will Smith movie, Pursuit of Happiness?
Yes, that's what I was thinking. He lived in, like, a bathroom
for... He does that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. I don't know how long I'd last in a public bathroom, though, but I'll try. Anyway.
Do you ever think about that? Like, while you're driving or whatever, you see a homeless person, you're like, okay, if I'm what do I do right now?
I do have this thought sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Like, what am I what is my moment-to-moment homeless person do? What do I do? You know?
There's a guy that lives outside of my grocery store near here. And he's always parked in the parking lot. This is outside of a Publix. Mm-hmm. He gets free coffee all day. He has a car.
Oh, because they have the coffee thing.
Yeah, they've got the coffee thing. Huh. He gets all their food they throw away. And he has a sign on his car that says, like, AV, you know, mechanic car repair. Uh-huh. So I guess he could
jump someone's car in the Publix parking lot or something.
Yeah, get a $20 tip.
$10 or something, yeah, $20.
Yeah, I think that guy's pretty smart.
Yeah, he's got it pretty good there. Looks like. Not really good, but...
Not good, but like...
For a homeless person...
Way worse off homeless people.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I do think about, like, what would I do if I was homeless? I don't really know if I'd survive, honestly.
Yeah, neither do I.
Because I don't know what I would do. Like, where do you go as a homeless person? You know? Like, I don't really know the answer to that. Do you sleep on the road or something?
Yeah, I guess, and, like, the hard thing is nobody wants you anywhere, so...
Yeah, this is a depressing topic.
Yeah, it is, I'm sorry.
It's fine. Do we have another would you rather, like, a happier one, maybe?
Yes, would you rather a pool full of spiders or an hour of tea,
obviously? This isn't happy in any way.
That made me laugh when I read it.
It is funny, though. A pool full of spiders would be frightening, so I would have an hour of tea... Yeah, obviously. Can you imagine a pool full of spiders, though? That's another Indiana Jones kind of thing, right? Like a whole pool of spiders.
Yeah.
You know?
Or snakes.
You know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, when he goes into the tomb in Egypt to get the Ark? You know what I'm talking about?
Is this the end of the movie?
No, it's like near the middle in the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah. Like, they finally dig up. Like, they're all, he's like, oh, we found where the Ark is buried. So they start digging. And they go down into the Ark chamber. And it's like a big chamber. And there's snakes all over the floor.
Remember yeah, this I know part this. Of the movie?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this part, this area is, like, completely sealed, right? So, like, these snakes couldn't get out or in. They've just been there for years and years. But there's, like, thousands of them. Maybe millions of them. Like, what are they eating down there? Like, all those snakes. How are they all surviving? When there's a million snakes and seemingly no other food, it's just the snakes. Yeah. Like, when I was a kid, I wondered this, and I still wonder it to this day. Yeah.
Like, honestly, when I was a kid, I wondered this too. Uh-huh. It's like, because they don't look, they're real snakes. They're not zombie yeah. snakes or anything.
No, they're not supernatural. They're just snakes. It's like, what are they eating down there?
Maybe, I don't know, it's like, it's like spirit energy that they get to stay alive.
It's because God is in the room with them.
The it's
because
the Ark is in there. Oh, no, I have a canon answer.
Tell me.
So the Ark produces manna, which feeds the snakes.
Oh, my God. That's a really good answer, though.
Yeah. You're
totally right, because in the beginning of the movie, and this is canon not only with religious documents, but also Indiana Jones. Because in the movie, he says in the beginning, like, oh, yeah, it made manna for the troops or whatever in Jerusalem. Right. So mm-hmm. maybe, yeah.
So that's why there's so many damn snakes down
God,
there.
God, that's smart. I always thought it was some stupid thing. Like, when I was a kid, I was like, maybe they eat each other. You know, like, that's literally what I thought. Like, maybe somehow they eat each other, and that's how they survive. Which doesn't make any sense, because I don't think they could breed fast enough to, like, eat more snakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a... Made...
like, that wouldn't work.
You eat one snake and make three more.
Like, that doesn't... Eventually, that's unsustainable. They would go all the way. So, as a kid, I was like, that must be what it was. But thinking about it as an adult, I'm like, that's stupid. But no, I think the manna thing, that's totally right. That makes complete sense. Wow, mystery solved. After, like, 30 years of my life, I finally figured that out.
Yeah, thank that's, you. You're welcome. Thank you know, you. I thought the snakes ate each other, too, though. So okay, it's okay. Well, I don't know the
that's next. Who's our sponsor today?
Our sponsor today is, how about Voodoo Hoodoo Black Mozzarella Cheese.
When you're in the mood for your mozzarella extra dark and black.
Voodoo Hoodoo.
Voodoo Hoodoo. I don't want to go into what that label would be, but I'll just let our listeners envision that one themselves. Yeah. Because there's something there. Remember when you're feeling kind of down.
Knit a fine gown.
Oh, very nice. I'm Pam Aces.
I'm Bat Snacks.
That's the show. Good night, everyone. Drive safe.
Drive safe.
Bye.